Praise God. Appreciate that singing.
Now, I normally start out with a joke, but I'd like to take just a second just to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ, if that'd be all right. I may not be exactly where I ought to be, but praise God, I ain't where I used to be. Amen. And I just want to make tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that the Holy Spirit shows up where the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. And that's what I want to do just real quick. It ain't about Sam Green tonight. It's about the Word of God, and it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to take a second just off the top of my brain to say a few things about our Lord. Amen. The first thing is that Jesus Christ is the light. John 1:9 tells us he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It don't matter what you're going through, how dark your circumstances are, the Lord Jesus Christ can give you light. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the door. John 10:9, Jesus saith, I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Amen. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Amen. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. I just want to testify about my Lord and his goodness. Amen. He's the rock. He's our Redeemer. Job said it best. Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand upon the earth at the latter day. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And lastly, I just want to say that Jesus Christ is my everything. Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. Praise Jesus tonight. Amen. Now, if you would, please take your King James Bibles and turn to Psalm 107 and Luke 5. Psalm 107 and Luke 5. Our text is going to come from Luke 5, but I'm going to quote a verse in Psalm 107 that I'd like you to put your eyes on. The title of my message tonight is Stuck on the Shore. Stuck on the Shore, amen. And if you don't have a King James Bible, you do not have a Bible, amen. I'm a King James man, King James only. If you got your place, say amen. Amen. Stuck on the Shore. We'll start here in Psalm 107. I'm just interested in two verses that paint a picture of Luke 5 for us. Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Take your Bible and turn back over to Luke 5. While you're doing that, I will tell you a joke. I heard a story about a little boy that he cut a lion's tail off with his pocket knife, amen? And he kept bragging to everybody about how he had cut the lion's tail off with his pocket knife. He couldn't wait to tell everybody about this. He went back to town, hey, looky here, I done cut the lion's tail off with my pocket knife. He'd go over to the next man, looky here, I done cut the lion's tail off with my pocket knife. Went to the next man, hey, look, I done cut this lion's tail off with my pocket knife. And finally somebody just said, well, why didn't you cut his head off? And the little boy said, somebody had already done that, amen? And I kind of feel like that little boy having to come up here and preach after Brother Lawson's already preached in the morning, amen. He's already cut the lion's head off, but I just do what I can do, amen. Praise God. All right, Luke 5, here we go, Stuck on the Shore. We're going to start in verse number 1. Y'all pray for me tonight. Verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for another opportunity to preach. Lord, I don't know the needs of everybody that's here, Lord God, but you do. And I just pray that you'd touch me, Lord, and you'd use me one more time to preach to your people, Lord God, and that you'd fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost, and you would meet the needs of the people here. And God, I want to please you. I pray that you'd fill me from the top of my head to the bottoms of my feet, Lord God, and you'd use me. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I've got 7 points tonight. Don't get nervous. I'll try to go fast, but I want to tell you up front, all 7 of my points start with the letter E. The first thing I want to tell you is number one is expected. They were expected to leave the shore. Expected to leave the shore. See, there was an expectation. Look at verse number 3. Jesus told the disciples, thrust out a little from the land. Verse number 4, he says, launch out into the deep. See, the Lord Jesus Christ had given them a command, but there was also an expectation with that command. Jesus expected them to obey his instructions and leave the shore. See, he says, thrust out a little from the land. Then he tells them, launch out into the deep. Jesus gave them instructions, and then we can see that the Lord gets out of the boat. The Lord didn't push their boat out there for them and row out to sea with them. No, he stayed on the shore, but he gave them a command. There was an expectation that they were to obey that. See, Jesus expects us to leave the shore as Christians, but it's up to us to do it. Amen. Amen. See, we're expected to leave the shore and launch out into the deep. Being a Christian comes with expectation. Let me just tell you something, good neighbor. God didn't save you just to leave you stuck on the shore. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. The Bible says in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous unto good works. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, which is us Christians, might be careful to maintain good works. Amen. There's an expectation that comes with being a Christian. But Jesus expects you to do business in great waters, as it says over there in Psalm. The Bible says in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit. Amen. There's an expectation that comes with being a Christian. Amen. See, we are expected to work. It's not, well, we'll wait till Jesus comes. It ought to be, we'll work till Jesus comes. Amen. We don't work to get saved. We work because we're saved. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Amen. See, we show our love and our actions by our deeds. If your wife is always telling you, hey, honey, I love you so much, but she never does anything for you, it's a little bit contradictory. Hey, honey, go ahead and cook us dinner for us, honey. Cook us dinner. And after that, why don't you do the dishes? And then after that, why don't you go roll the trash out? And then after that, babe, why don't you go put the kids down? Hey, and then in the morning, why don't you wake up, get the kids ready for school, take them to school, drive them to school. And then all the while, the wife's just sitting there. But hey, baby, I love you. But she's never doing anything for you. That all that is lip service. That's the same thing. It's easier to say we love Jesus, but it's harder to serve Jesus. Amen. Amen. But there's an expectation. We're expected to serve him. Because your actions got to speak louder than your words. The Bible says in 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. How about that? 1 Corinthians 8:3, but if any man love God, the same of him is known. It's known by what you do and how you serve him, not just what you say. Because if all you do is just talk about it and you never actually serve him, it's just lip service. Amen. There's an expectation. But not only is there an expectation, but once you're a Christian and you get saved, you're expected to grow. If you were to go to a pool and you see a grown man floating around in a kiddie pool, wouldn't that be kind of weird? Mind you, that let's just say this grown man is in the kiddie pool, but he's not there with his little baby. He's just there by himself. And there's a perfectly good pool that's got a normal end and a deep end and all that. But you see this grown man just sitting there in the kiddie pool, not even with his kid. That's kind of weird, ain't it? Amen. Well, it's also kind of weird when we see Christians still listening to filthy music. It's kind of weird when we see Christians that aren't serving Jesus Christ. It's kind of weird when we see Christians that are fornicating, smoking dope, going to the bars, drinking, all that stuff. That's kind of weird because we're expected to grow. Amen. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, for when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child, I understood as a child, but praise God, when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:10, that ye increase more and more. 2 Corinthians 6:13, be ye also enlarged. There's an expectation, friend, that we are to grow after salvation. Amen. But see, God expects us to leave the shore and to get out into deep waters. Amen. Look at verse number five. The second point I want to say is excuses. Look at verse number five. Excuses keep you stuck on the shore. Verse number five, Peter had an excuse to stay on the shore. Verse number five, Peter has an excuse. He says, Master, we've toiled all the night and taken nothing. Peter had an excuse. He was tired. See, fatigue will keep you stuck on the shore. Fatigue will keep you stuck on the shore. A failure to see results will keep you stuck on the shore. Sometimes we can have that attitude, well, I'm tired. I don't want to go out to sea. Well, I tried it once. Look at verse number five. Not only does he say we've toiled all the night, but he says we've taken nothing. Excuses. Excuses keep you stuck on shore. Well, hey, I prayed one time and God didn't really answer my prayer, so I didn't see any results, so I'm just going to quit. Because we've taken nothing. That's what Peter said. We've taken nothing. Well, I went out street preaching one time and nobody got saved, so I ain't doing that again. I witnessed to my coworker and he didn't want to have anything to do with that. So, we've taken nothing. That's what Peter said. Is that what he said in verse 5? Yeah, see, fatigue can keep you stuck on the shore. A failure to see results can keep you stuck on the shore. Well, I've been reading my Bible and God's just not speaking to me. So let me close my Bible up and let me just turn the TV on. I prayed for my lost family members to get saved and they ain't got saved yet. So maybe I've taken nothing. Let me just quit. See, that's how we can get sometimes as Christians, and that'll keep you stuck on the shore. Sometimes we can be fair weather Christians. I'll do it tomorrow, maybe when the weather's better. Let me tell you something about tomorrow. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what's on the other side tomorrow. That's why we got to serve Jesus Christ today. Amen. Excuses keep you stuck on the shore. Another thing that keeps you stuck on the shore is a fear of our past. Our past mistakes. Let me just tell you something. Your past doesn't disqualify you. I don't care what you've done or where you've been. Your past doesn't disqualify you from serving God. I don't care if some bozo and a clown told you you're not good enough or you're not doing it the right way or you ought to wait and you ought to sit down. No, you are good enough because God doesn't use the self-righteous. God uses sinners. Fear of our past. God will still use you. God will still use you. It don't matter where you've been or what you've been through or where you're at right now. God will still use you if you just step out, leave the shore. Amen. God will use you. Why don't we leave the shore? Well, sometimes we just get comfortable. Sometimes it's easier on the shore. It's more comfy on the shore. It's easier to stay on the shore than it is to get out there in the choppy waters. See, when you get out there into the water, you don't know what's underneath there. There could be a shark out there. You don't know what's going on out there. It's easier to stay on the shore. We get comfortable. We stay on the shore. Fear can keep you on the shore. We chicken out. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Fear can keep you on the shore. Fear can keep you from witnessing. Well, I don't know what they're going to say. My family's going to get mad at me. It's going to be awkward when I come around for Easter, Thanksgiving, or Christmas. So I'd rather just not. Fear can keep you stuck on the shore. Another thing that can keep you stuck on the shore is compromise. Compromise, I'll tell you what, compromise will keep the church stuck on the shore. Want to change everything, make it more modern, make it more new. That'll keep your church stuck on the shore. Proverbs 24:21, meddle not with a man, give it a change. I've seen it. I praise God for Temple Baptist Church that we're sticking in the old paths. I praise God that we've got a good man of God that has built a heritage, that he's sticking in the old paths. And I praise God for that. But see, it can happen in King James churches. I've seen it. Amen. I've seen it. It starts with those little screens, those little TV screens. We look at enough screens as is. You look at your cell phone all the time. We're at work looking at screens. We're at the movie theaters looking at screens. We're at the house looking at screens. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with the house of God looking like a church. Amen. Amen. We don't have to make everything new. We don't have to compromise. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You got to have some boundaries. You got to have some boundaries or else you're going to compromise. A church is not only known for what it attracts, but also what it repels. It says, hey, we're going to have some boundaries set up, but before you know it, if you compromise, you bend, there's no end to it. You got a preacher up here with a little headset on looking like he's working at the McDonald's drive-thru, looking like Janet Jackson at the halftime show. God help us. And then they get the lights up here and they got they got the drums and all that stuff. But hey, the Bible says that if any man love the world, The love of the Father is not in him. Love not the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all those different things, that'll keep you stuck on the shore. Amen. See, I believe that we got to have some compromise. There can't be any compromise, because before you know it, if you leave those old paths, you open up the door to all types of stuff. What's next? You get tongue talkers in your church. You got women preachers in your church. All that thing can happen if you compromise and you leave the old paths. Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:4, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, because pacifying yieldeth great offenses. I don't want to leave the old pass. I want to stay in the old pass. I mean, I believe that if a rooster won't crow in its own barn, you ought to wring its neck and make chicken and dumplings. Amen. Compromise will keep you from getting where the place where God wants you to be. Amen. Your mindset can keep you stuck on the shore, because excuses start in our mind. We can have a sluggish mindset, a tendency to be lazy. Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. The Bible says you can have a slothful mindset. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. It was bad. It's bad when you make excuses. It's bad when you compromise, friend. Yes, let me ask you something. What's your excuse that's keeping you stuck on the shore? Maybe I'm too old. That might be your excuse. And I understand physical ailments and disabilities, and you can't run the way you used to. But hey, listen, I got some Bible that says Psalm 92, verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. How about that? Hey, there's a reason you're still here, neighbor. It doesn't matter how old you are. God could take you out of here if he was done with you, but he's not. You have a reason that you're here, and you can still serve God even in your old age. You can serve God in your youth. You don't have to make an excuse and say, well, I'm too young. I'll serve God when I get older. Lamentations 3:27, it is good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. Your age ain't an excuse, friend. What's keeping you from going to sea and doing business in great waters? What excuse do you use for not doing something for God? See, Peter had an excuse. Moving on here, verse 6, the third thing I want to show you is it's expedient. Expedient that you leave the shore. Verse 6, it's expedient that you leave the shore. Look here. And when they had done this done, what did they do? Well, they left the shore. Then what happened? They enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. When did that happen? When they left the shore. It's expedient that you leave the shore. It's very important that you leave the shore. The disciples in this text would have never saw the works and wonders of God if they didn't leave the shore. Their nets would have never broke had they stayed stuck on the shore. It's expedient that you leave the shore. That'd be like the coach saying in a sports game, hey son, it's time for you to go in. And that coach has got great plans for you to go in there. You may score the game-winning touchdown or hit the home run or make the game-winning shot, but you would never be able to see those things if you just say, nah, I think I'll just stay on the bench. It's the same thing when you stay stuck on the shore. See, those disciples would have never caught that great multitude of fishes, and their nets would have never broke had they not left the shore. It's expedient that we leave the shore, amen? Amen. See, once they got out to deep waters, verse 6, great multitude of fishes, their nets broke. They saw the works of the Lord. Look at verse number 9. They were astonished at the works and wonders of God. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time your net broke? When's the last time God filled your cup up so much it ran over? When's the last time your faith was so real in Jesus Christ that your nets broke? When's the last time you were astonished by God? You may be asking, well, how do I get God to fill my net up? Well, we just looked at it in Psalm 107. It says, they that go down to the sea that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord in his wonders, where? In the deep. Not on your couch, not scrolling TikTok or Facebook or Snapchat or Twitter or whatever it is now, but out there in the deep waters. There's three different action verbs in Psalm 107 that we looked at. It says go, do, and then you'll see. You got to go down to see. It takes effort. Amen? Do business. That's a verb there. You got to do something for God. Amen? You're never going to get the power of God if you don't leave the shore. And I'm just going to tell you that God still does the supernatural. It doesn't matter if you're special. I'm nothing. I'm literally a nobody. I know where God's brought me from, and praise God for that. But I'm starting to see the power of God because I'm willing to leave the shore. And if he can do that for me, I promise you he can do it for you. Amen. See, when Peter left the shore, verse 9 tells us he was astonished at what God did for him. The same thing that God did for Peter, he can do for you. You just got to leave the shore. Amen. And I wasted so many of my years just stuck on the shore, just being a Sunday Christian. But I beg you, don't do that. Seek the face of God. Understand what the will of the Lord is and leave the shore. Amen. It's expedient. God will show you his powers. God will show you the supernatural if you just step out and leave the shore. Amen. God wants us to leave the shore and get out there to the great deep waters. It's expedient that we get where God wants us to be spiritually. The fourth thing I want to show you here in verse number 7 is encourage. Encourage others to get off the shore. Look at verse number 7. There was encouragement. Encouragement will help you get off the shore. Encouragement will help others get off the shore. Encourage. Encourage others to get off the shore. And this is not in our nature. We have to fight that. Our flesh doesn't want to encourage anybody. But there was encouragement. Look at verse number 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. See, they called for their partners, and their partners were willing to come and help them. They weren't even in the same ship. Are you a partner that I go help others?
That's good, brother.
Can anybody call on you when they need any help, when they need any encouragement? See, I'm young, but I'm not that young where I can't remember those good old days back when nobody had to lock their doors. We all got Ring cameras now and all that stuff because it's bad out there. And I'm not against Ring cameras. I've got a camera. I've got cameras. I got the guns, all that stuff. It's bad out there. You ought to lock your doors and stuff. But hey, I remember the time where you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to shut your garage. Everybody was close with their neighbor. I remember being a little kid and my mom saying, hey, go over across the street. We're a little bit low. We're running low on flour. We don't have any sugar. Go over there and see if the neighbor will let us borrow some. We need a couple eggs. And you could go over to your neighbor and they would loan that to you and they would let you borrow that. But can anybody borrow any spiritual encouragement from you? If I was running low tonight and I needed a little spiritual jolt, I needed a little boost, could you loan me any? You got any that you could loan me? Or you got just enough to keep yourself going spiritually? Can anybody lean on you? You got anything to loan? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:9, for two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if the one fall, his fellow shall lift him up. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Amen. Are you able to help anybody up? There was encouragement. We ought to encourage others to get off the shore. I've got some men that I can call on. I've got a pastor down in Middle Tennessee and somebody down in Arkansas. I can call them no matter what time. I can text them and say, hey, I'm struggling with something. Hey, I need some encouragement. Hey, I need you to pray for me. And they'll call me back or they'll text me and they encourage me to do business in great waters. The Bible says we ought to encourage others and to provoke others to good works. That's what it says in Hebrews 10:24, provoking one another to love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I just want to encourage you guys tonight. You know, it's easy for people to look like us on Sunday morning, but for some reason they don't look like us on Sunday night. They don't look like us on Wednesday night. Matter of fact, where are they? We got a select group that comes here. This is a good crowd for a Sunday night. Amen. And praise God that you guys are here. But I want to encourage you guys that showing up in the house of God, it matters. Keep on doing what you're doing. We ought to encourage one another. Temple Baptist Church, we need encouragement. Amen. We need to encourage one another. Amen? Let me tell you something. Envy will keep us stuck on the shore. I've only been in the ministry or whatever you want to call it for like 6 months. But I've already seen jealousy. And jealousy is it's a real thing. It's a real problem amongst preachers. There's a lot of pride and a lot of ego and all these different things you'll see when you meet these preachers from different places and stuff. And it's envy, and it feels like they're striving together rather than on the same team. And I know you guys can relate to that you can make a practical application in your own life, your coworkers, family members. It sometimes seems like people are striving against one another, but we ought to encourage one another because envy and jealousy will keep us stuck on the shore. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who can stand before envy? Amen. Another thing that'll keep you stuck on the shore is selfishness. Luke 5:7 tells us that they beckoned unto their partners that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Look at that. Those in the other ship came and helped them. They didn't have to do that, but they shared the catch. Amen? A couple months ago, we were out street preaching, And me and Brother Lucas and Brother Tony were preaching on the mics. And I just got done off the mic. And me and Lucas were preaching Hell's Hot. I mean, it was quite a thing. And I got done on the mic. And I passed the mic to Tony. And then Tony passed the mic to Lucas. And I went over to the side. And there was some traffic of people walking by. And I started witnessing to them. And Tony was kind of over to the side. He was just grabbing a breather. And Lucas was on the mic. And I saw three kids on those little scooters that they ride downtown on Gay Street, and the Lord told me to go talk to him, and I talked to him, and I started witnessing to him, and there was conviction there. They had never heard the gospel before, but these kids lit up like a Christmas tree, and they wanted to receive the gospel. They wanted to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and they felt conviction. They understood that they were a sinner. They understood that they were going to hell, but I was tired, man. I'd been out there preaching. So what did I do? These kids said they wanted to be saved. You know what I did? I beckoned to my partner. I took these three kids over to Brother Tony, and I said, hey, brother, these three kids want to get saved. And Tony led them to the Lord. Now, it's God that gives the increase, but I beckoned to my partner, and I received some encouragement, amen? I bet you that encouraged Brother Tony's soul when that happened, and see those three kids get saved, amen? And Brother Lucas was still preaching the Word of God on the mic. See, that's how it ought to be right there. That's a good picture of verse number 7. They beckoned unto their partners. Are you a partner to anybody? You encouraging anybody? See, we weren't selfish. I could have been like, I could have led those three to the Lord. I could have walked over to Brother Tony and been like, yeah, I just led those three kids to the Lord. But no, I beckoned to my partner, and we shared that together. While Lucas was still preaching, we were all striving together. That's how we ought to be. We weren't selfish, and we both received encouragement. We start encouraging and helping others like our text tells us, God will fill both your ships up. Amen. Amen. We ought to encourage and help others to continue on. When Joseph was in Egypt and his brothers left to go back to Canaan, Genesis 45:24, he said, see that ye fall not out by the way. Right. He encouraged them to continue on, and that's what we ought to do. Temple Baptist Church, we ought to encourage one another. Amen. Amen. When's the last time you encouraged somebody? That's good, see, we as Christians, independent, Bible-believing, King James-only Christians, what we're really good at is correcting other people. Yep. I can be really good at that. But it's much harder to encourage somebody. Amen. It's easier to kick somebody or step over them when they're down, but it takes a true brother who's filled with the Holy Ghost to reach down and pick somebody up and say, I got you, brother. I'm going to beckon to my partners. Amen. Who are you encouraging tonight? Are you helping anybody to get off the shore? That's good. We ought to encourage one another. There was encouragement. Moving on, the fifth thing I want to show you is example. Verse number 8, example. We ought to be an example to others. Look at verse number 8. Peter set an example to others. Peter set an example to others. Look at verse number 8. Right there at the start. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Peter set an example to the others of the proper way to approach the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in humbleness and humility. He fell down before Peter. He was an example. There was an example. Amen. He humbled himself. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, what's interesting is that verse 10 lets us know that the sons of Zebedee were there, James and John, but the King James Bible doesn't tell us they fell down at Jesus' knees, but Peter did. Peter set an example. Amen. See, you can set an example for your friends, for your family, for your coworkers. You can set an example. Amen. The example that you set, it matters. It matters how you approach Jesus. It matters how you act, how you approach the Bible, how you approach prayer, how you approach church. Are you a good example for your spouse, for your friends, for your children, coworkers? Do they see you reading the Bible? Do they see you praying? Do they see you witnessing? Are you excited for church? Do they see you singing when we sing? Now, I can't sing worth a lick, but I come up here to the choir, and I'll tell you one thing. When you look out here, it is an interesting thing to see over 50% of the people, they'll have their hymn books and they're not even singing. You would have thought that it's like Israel in Babylonian captivity, where they say in Psalm 137, verse 4, how can we sing the songs of the Lord in a strange land? Yeah. You're not in a strange land, neighbor. You're in the house of God. Hey, and when we sing, we ought to sing unto the Lord. The Bible says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. How about that? Amen. We ought to sing, amen? You ought to listen during preaching. Ecclesiastes 5:1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God and be more ready to hear. Amen? Amen? We ought to listen. People are watching you, and the example that you set matters, whether you know it or not. Amen? Yes. Let's look at the impact of a good example. Go to verse number 9. Bible says, that's Peter, was astonished. For he was astonished. And then there is a a comma, and then the word and. For when he, being Peter, was astonished, comma, and all that were with him. Peter had an impact. He was first astonished. I can just picture Peter. He's already fallen down at Jesus' feet, and he's worshiping Jesus, and he's exalting Jesus, and then he's astonished. He's probably sitting there with his jaw dropped, sitting there just completely astonished. But Peter's example had an impact, because look at verse number 10. Well, verse number 9, for he was astonished. Then it says, and all that were with him. Look at verse number 10, and then it says, and so was also James and John. But it took Peter's example first, and Peter's example rubbed off on him. Your example can rub off on people. And so was also James and John. It rubbed off on them. An illustration of this is last year, some of us went down in November to the King James Bible Jubilee. And it was in Jacksonville, Florida, Bible Believers Baptist Church, Dr. Peacock's church. And I took time off from work, and I drove all the way down to Jacksonville on a Wednesday. We rolled right into church. And when I got there into the church, my attitude was horrible. The flesh, the old man was completely taken over. I was in that church, and I was sitting here saying, man, you didn't really took time off from work. You could have gone to the beach. You could have done all this stuff, and you're coming down here to get screamed at and to listen to singing. Are you kidding me? And it wasn't until about the very first song they sang, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. Amen. And I looked over to the right, and there were some men singing. You know, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they set an example, and that example rubbed off on me. I'm talking about they were singing, glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Amen. Glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the Crucified One. And about that time, the Holy Ghost got on me, and I said, man, I ought to get happy. I ought to get glad that I'm saved. Bible says in Psalm 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. And they set an example. And those men, when I looked over to the pew to the right, they were glad to be saved. The Holy Ghost smacked me in the face and said, hey, son, look over there. They're setting an example. And guess what? It rubbed off on me. You can do the same thing. You can rub off on people. Have you got any fire about you? Are you rubbing off on anybody, or you just sit soaking in sour? See, we can be triple S Christians. We sit, we soak, we sour. Amen. You got any fire about you? You got any fire about you? We ought to be an example. Your example makes a huge impact on people. Let me tell you why. The reason many of us are in church today is because you had a mom or a dad or a nana or a papa or somebody that set a Christian example that it meant something to them when they came into the house of God. Some of us got saved because a parent had a good example and brought you to church. Amen. We may not have even got saved had there not been an example. Amen? Amen. The example that you set matters. Some of us went prodigal. I can testify to that. But we had an example of a mom or a dad or somebody that not only set an example, not only did they just come to church, but they lived the Christian life. And that meant something to you. And you circled back to that. And it was because of that that you came back to the Father's house. Amen? Amen. Some of us had praying grandmothers. Some of us had praying mamas. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me tell you something, parents. Hey, you may have some wayward kids. You may have some prodigal kids, but don't give up on them. Don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop praying for them because it matters. I promise you, I'm living proof of that. I had a praying mama and a praying nana. And hey, by the grace of God, I am where I am because of that and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't stop. You are an example, and that example matters. Train up a child in the way he shall go. And when he's old, he shall not depart from it. Your example matters. Amen. We may still be out in the far country, but praise God, there was an example. Let me ask you a question. What example are you setting? Is your example impacting anybody to get off the shore and out to the sea? I'm moving on here. I got to hurry. Point number 6, evaluate. Evaluate your faith in your spiritual life. Verse number 8, there was evaluation. Let's look at that. Look at the second half of that. Peter says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. If you hadn't gotten anything, just stick with me here a little bit. I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost getting on me. Amen. Evaluation. There was evaluation. Peter evaluated, and Peter realized at that moment, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He doubted. Glance up there real quick at the end of verse 4 for me. Jesus tells him, let down your nets, plural, for a drought. But look at the latter half of verse number 5, the last word of verse number 5. What did Peter say? Nevertheless, I will let down the net, singular. There was doubt. He doubted the Lord Jesus Christ and said, he didn't have any faith that Jesus was going to provide those fish out there in the deep. But I just want to tell you that one chapter over in Luke 4, Jesus Christ had already healed Peter's mother-in-law. So Peter knew that Jesus was the Christ. Peter knew that Jesus was the real deal. He had no business doubting. And it was at that moment, it says, when he saw it, right there in verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. It took him seeing it for that evaluation to set in, because Peter was walking by sight and not by faith. But then evaluation kicks in. How many times has Jesus came through us, came through for us, yet we still doubt him? There was evaluation. We ought to evaluate ourselves. We're really good at evaluating others. I'm really good at that. But how about evaluating yourselves? Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? We ought to evaluate ourselves. Peter evaluated himself. He said, I am a sinful man, O Lord. He didn't point the finger and say, hey, Lord, James and John, they were sinful men. He didn't point the finger at the disciples and said, no, it's me. It's my problem. I'm evaluating myself. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter evaluated himself. We ought to evaluate ourselves. The Bible says in Psalm 19:12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. It doesn't say who can understand their errors, cleanse them from their faults. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me of secret faults. There was evaluation. We need to evaluate our how's your faith tonight? Is it shallow or is it deep? Are you still on the shore? See, when Jesus first came to Peter in this text, he was on the land, but he sent him out there into the deep. Or are you out there in the deep water? We need to evaluate, are we where God wants us to be spiritually? And you can still feel God's presence and be stuck on the shore and not have his power. Matter of fact, you can still get a prayer answered and not be where God wants you to be. Israel wandered for many, many years out there in the wilderness, and God still was with them. They still felt God's presence. They were still getting their prayers answered. They had quail and manna and all these different things from heaven. God was still answering their prayers, but they were miles and miles and miles away from Canaan. You can still feel the presence in the church house. You can still get your prayers answered, but you can be miles and miles and miles away from where God wants you to be spiritually. Matter of fact, you can even be sitting in the church house tonight and be miles and miles away from where God wants you to be spiritually. The Bible says in Proverbs 5:14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. God help us. The writer tells us he was in the church house, but he was still almost in the midst of all evil. You can still be coming to church and not be where God wants you to be spiritually. We ought to evaluate. Are we where God wants us to be spiritually? We need to honestly evaluate ourselves now before we pop up there at the judgment seat of Christ and get evaluated by the Lord Jesus Christ and get compared to his righteousness. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's either one or two things the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say to you at that judgment seat of Christ, and we'll all face it. Number one, Jesus will say, you spent your whole life stuck on the shore. Or two, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You made it out there to sea. You were doing business in great waters. Which one's it going to be for you today? Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that we get off the shore and get out there to great waters. Time for us to evaluate our spiritual life and love for the Lord is now. My last point here, and I'm moving on. Point number 7, eliminate. Look at verse number 11, eliminate. We need to eliminate whatever keeps you from following Jesus. Eliminate whatever keeps you from following Jesus. After we've had time to evaluate, now it's time that we eliminate. Amen. Look at verse number 11, there was elimination. And when they had brought their ships to the land, looky here, they forsook some and followed them. They forsook all, good neighbor, and followed him. There was elimination. They realized that to get where God wants us to be, we've got to come to a place of elimination. They forsook all and followed him. We've got to eliminate some things in our life in order to follow Jesus. We've got to eliminate some of the music we listen to, some of the TV shows that we watch, some of the things that we look at. I oftentimes see Christians will post a Bible verse on Sunday, and then the very next day they're posting Taylor Swift or they're posting some rap music out of hell. Hey, Taylor Swift's out of hell, rap music's out of hell, all that secular music, that's straight out of hell. Amen. Amen. We got to eliminate some things. It's a place of elimination. The things that we watch and look at have an impact on you. David said in Psalm 101 verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Sometimes you're going to have to even eliminate certain people that hold you back. You can still love them, you can still pray for them, but there's going to be some people that hold you back. And it's hard, but it's a place of elimination. They forsook all and followed him. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Not what, but who. Who did hinder you? Amos 3, 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Proverbs 13, 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 2, 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Who you're walking with matters. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, I command you, brethren, that's talking to Christians, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. Sometimes you got to withdraw yourself because people and friends sometimes can influence you the wrong way, and you won't be able to change them sometimes. They will change you. It's a place of elimination. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I'm just talking about if we could get to a spot in our Christian life where we would say, hey, I'm taking a stand. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to hang with that crowd anymore. Hey, you don't know the associations that you have and the people that you're with. Sometimes you got to cut those things off. Amen. Forsaking all, and then you'll see the power of power of God when you get out there in the deep. Amen. Amen. What do you need to eliminate to follow Jesus closer? The disciples forsook all. One of my favorite songs is I Surrender All. I think if we were honestly singing that, it'd go something like this. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now. I surrender some, I surrender some. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender some. There was a place of elimination. There's some things that you're going to have to eliminate if you want to go with God. If you want to see the supernatural power of God, there's going to be some things you got to forsake. Amen. And he'll do it. I can promise you he'll do that. I've seen it in my own life, and I promise you I'm nothing special. I'm really not. If God can do it for me, I promise you he can do it for you and so much the more. But there was a place of elimination. Look there at the last part of verse number 11. They forsook all and followed him. Before they could follow Jesus, they had to forsake all. They dropped what they're doing and they said, hey, look, all I need is Jesus. I know we were fishing. I know we were fooling around with the boat and all this, but hey, there's the Son of God right here. That's all I need. That's the place we got to come to. They forsook all and followed him. You young people, you're going to be at a point where you're going to have a crowd. You're going to have the people in high school that are going to want to go this way. You don't need the crowd. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need that crowd. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 13, 13, let us go there forth unto him without the camp. You don't have to follow the popular crowd. You stick with Jesus and God will work it out for you. You get the power of God on your life when you get off the shore. Amen. To get off the shore and get out to sea, we have to eliminate some things. As I'm coming to a close here, I just want to ask you, will you leave the shore? Will you go? You may be saying, I don't know. I don't know how to get off the shore, Brother Sam. Why don't you just try? That's the first step, is just trying. Just take a step of faith. Make an effort. Step off the land. Get out there into the water. Yeah. What business, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. What business does God have in store for you in the deep waters? What's your calling? What's your ministry? We've all got a ministry, and there's way more to having a ministry than just preaching, just being called to preach. I can promise you that. What's your ministry? Amen. What's God got for you? What business has God got for you out there in the deep waters? Amen. God's got some business for you. You just got to get off the shore and get out to deep waters. Maybe you are serving God. Maybe you're out there in the deep waters. Maybe you're not one of the ones that's stuck on the shore. Maybe you're not one of the ones that I'm preaching to tonight. But hey, are you helping others get off the shore? Is there anybody you're leaving stuck on the shore? Maybe your child, maybe your friend, maybe your grandkid, maybe your coworker, maybe your spouse. Is there anybody that you're leaving on the shore? I'm coming to a close here. If I could get the piano player to come up here and Brother Lawson, come on up here. If you're stuck on the shore or you know of someone who is, why don't you come to the altar and pray before it's too late? Do business with God tonight before we waste our whole life never getting off the shore and getting out to sea. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me? Are you doing your best for Jesus? Come on. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity. God, help us to see that you expect us to leave the shore, Father God. Help us to quit making excuses, Lord God, to realize that it's expedient that we get off the shore. Father God, help us to encourage others to get off the shore, Lord. Help us to be an example to others, Lord God. I pray that you'd help us to evaluate our own spiritual lives, Lord, and to eliminate the things that get in the way of us following you the way that we ought to, Lord God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.